We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
All at a fair price with Cooper Systems. They offer in-store diagnostics and computer repair, too. Call Cooper Systems at 360-9679. That's 360-9679 or visit coopersystems.com.
50 ways and 50 days to celebrate Earth Day. Tip number 20, be aware of extra additives in food. Many of these can potentially be harmful to people and the environment. Simply check the ingredients. In general, the fewer ingredients, the better the product. Show us your one thing by using hashtag one thing.
Life in America has changed almost overnight. There's a lot of information out there about the coronavirus. We help you sort it out and answer the most important questions every weekday with the Coronavirus Daily Podcast. We'll have interviews and advice from health experts, newsmakers, and authorities on a range of important topics. Everything you need to know, summarized into one short episode. Get all the information you need to guide your family through the COVID-19 pandemic. Listen on radio.com, the radio.com app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher.
Hi, my name is Max. I'm a dad, and I make podcasts. It's my job. But right now, things are pretty weird. Many of us are working from home, and schools around the world are closed. And that means we all need something to do while we're sitting inside. So we're asking kids everywhere the same question. If you could make a podcast about anything you wanted, what would you make? And we're turning the submissions into a brand new show. It's called The Kids Are All Home.
I like to call this Pantry Investigations.
Welcome to History Twins.
I'm Wilder. This is my sister, Rosie.
Say hi, Rosie.
Hi, Rosie.
So pause that movie you're watching for the fifth time in a row, put down that third snack you just snuck out of the pantry, and subscribe to The Kids Are All Home on radio.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parrish Show.
I'm here. My name's Gary Parrish. I'm speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Bennett Doyle's producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day best you can.
Her daddy lost most everything. On horse, whiskey, and wedding rings.
And I hope you saw the story coming out of Detroit. Just a heartbreaking story from that city that is turning into a hotspot for the coronavirus. Because I think if you've seen that story, you would, if you're one of the skeptics still out there, you would understand just how scary this thing is that we're going through as a country. Don't worry. If you haven't seen it, I'll share it with you here in just a second. But first, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 425, Dan Walken's going to join me. National Commerce USA Today. I will ask him about a number of things, including Dabo Swinney, Clemson football coach, earlier today saying that there's not a doubt in his mind. We're going to start the college football season on time with the fans filling the stadiums. Seems optimistic. And by optimistic, I mean an opinion rooted in absolutely nothing. One that runs counter to what most experts are saying right now, but whatever. the football coach. I guess you can't blame a football coach for trying to be optimistic, even if it doesn't sound that bright. Talk to Dan Walken in about 20 minutes. When I finish that, I'll take a break, come back, do four notable stories, 444, at which point I'll discuss four previously undiscussed stories, among them reigning NBA MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo hasn't played any kind of basketball in weeks. Why, Bennett? Why do you think that's true? Because he has no basketball goal.
Oh, man.
Does it surprise you that Giannis Antetokounmpo has no access to a basketball goal, so he hasn't played basketball in weeks?
You know what? It doesn't surprise me that much because he's kind of a different dude.
He's kind of a different dude. I just thought it was, I don't know. I guess I assumed every professional basketball player probably got a hoop somewhere.
You would think so.
An indoor gym, an outdoor court, something. Maybe just one in the driveway like kids all over America have. Giannis doesn't have any of that. We'll get into it around 444. Hall of Fame class going to be officially announced tomorrow. Naismith Memorial Hall of Fame. We already know, though, Kobe Bryant's going to be announced as a future inductee with at least two other legends. Tell you about that later on this hour. Dayton's Obi Toppin won the Naismith National Player of the Year Award earlier today. His story is a great story. I'll walk you through it for those who don't know it just before 5 o'clock. And Bill Withers, Grammy-winning songwriter who wrote songs all of us have loved, died today at the age of 81. We'll talk about him during four notable stories at 4:44. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins, just like always. Then I'll eventually do dinner to go, and I'll get out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I wanted to start with our ongoing national emergency, the 2020 coronavirus pandemic that is ravaging our country. The United States continues to lead the world in confirmed cases. It's a blowout. Confirmed cases in the United States at last check, which was about 5 minutes ago, 266,671. It's a long way from the 15 we had that we were told they were just going to disappear like magic. Now we're up to 266,671. Confirmed deaths in the United States as of 5 minutes ago, 6,921. Here locally in Shelby County, the latest numbers are 640 confirmed cases in Shelby County and 8 confirmed deaths in Shelby County. Dr. Bruce Randolph, a Shelby County health official, said the following earlier today. According to Brad Broders, Local 24, Dr. Randolph said, "We are facing a crucial period in this pandemic. This is serious. This is a life and death moment. The actions we take now will make a difference in the number of deaths that result because of COVID-19. As many as 20,000 people could die in Shelby County," end quote. In other words, it's going to get worse before it gets better, basically everywhere, including here. So stay at home, be smart, do what's right, because as a country, we've already screwed this thing up pretty badly. And now the only thing we can do is try to make it less terrible. Like, a good ending is off the table now. That's not even an option. Now we're just trying to make it the best version of devastating as we can. And one of the many ways we screwed up as a country in preparation for this was detailed by USA Today earlier today. I don't know if you saw the story, but if not, here's the first sentence from a story that was triple bylined. U.S. exports of surgical masks, ventilators, and other personal protective gear to China skyrocketed in January and February when the coronavirus was wreaking havoc in the country where it began, and as U.S. intelligence agency warned, it would soon spread to the United States. The story continues. American companies sold more than $17.5 million worth of face masks, more than $13.6 million in surgical garments, and more than $27.2 million in ventilators to China during the first 2 months of this year, far exceeding that of any other similar period in the past decade, according to the most recent foreign trade data available from the U.S. Census Bureau. USA Today's analysis of the trade numbers comes as medical professionals on the front lines of the nationwide crisis say they are being forced to reuse or go without personal protective equipment like surgical masks and face shields to account for a shortage. Some states also are scrambling to find ventilators to prepare for a crush of patients expected to need them. In other words, let me bottom line it for you. U.S. companies were making and shipping the exact products our doctors here in the United States and nurses here in the United States need right now, shipping them to China in January and February at unusual rates, even though the White House and congressional intelligence committees were briefed on the scope and threat of the coronavirus in January and February. Our government officials were told this is coming. Regardless, President Trump never stopped exports of key medical equipment through January and February, and he still hasn't, by the way. At least 54 other countries have already taken that step. The United States has not. So when your mom or dad or husband or wife or kid ends up hospitalized and the equipment to treat them isn't available, I hope you understand why. It's because the federal government, led by the President of the United States, did almost nothing to prepare for this pandemic that is ravaging the country right now. The proof is in the numbers. The details are impossible to argue against. And the stories, the heartbreaking ones, are just stacking up everywhere. And there was one connected to college basketball earlier today. Dwayne Stevens, longtime assistant at Michigan State, associate head coach for Tom Izzo at Michigan State. I've known Dwayne for a long, long time. Just an awesome guy. He's Dwayne Stevens Jr. His father's Dwayne Stevens Sr. Contracted coronavirus, was hospitalized, got better, then took a bad turn, and now he's dead. He's not only Dwayne Stevens' father, he's a grandfather. He has grandkids that are 5, 8, 14 years old. So I've seen some people on social media be dismissive of, like, you know, an 85-year-old dying or a 92-year-old dying or it's whatever. I don't know why, as if those lives don't matter. But think of it from the other side. A 5-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a 14-year-old just lost their grandfather. Tom Izzo talked about it earlier today. Among other things, he said this. Quote, it was a little over a week ago when they found out that his dad was sick, that he had contracted COVID-19. Seemed to be doing pretty good for a while. And then he took a turn for the worse 2 days ago, and then we lost him. And Tom Izzo continued, the Hall of Fame coach at Michigan State. He said, I'm sure a lot of people have run into this, but when it hits home, man, when it hits really close to home, it always seems to mean a little more. It's a shame that it's that way, but I think that's just the human response. And this is something we've been talking about for a while. Like, it was hard for most Americans to take this seriously when it was just in China or just in Italy or just in Washington State or just in New York. But now it's everywhere, and it is getting worse everywhere. Except, this is going to blow your mind, the states that actually stepped in early and said, stay at home. Not the ones who waited till yesterday or the ones that still haven't done it. The numbers are still spiking in those places. But in California, you might remember they were very quick to this. Stay at home. Stay at home now. But we only have X amount of cases. Good. We're going to try to keep it that way or close to that as we can. Stay at home now. California is handling this well. The states that didn't act as quickly, not handling this as well. So it's going to hit everywhere, and it's going to hit home for lots of people. Even some of the people who were being dismissive of this and discounting it week after week after week after week. Tom Izzo's exactly right. When it hits close to home, it registers in a different way. And there are some people listening right now and some people who have been on Facebook for the past few weeks being dismissive of this, mocking the reaction, being frustrated by the lockdown. Those people are going to, some of them, have this hit really close to home. And I bet you that's when the opinions change. But not until then, unfortunately. Meantime, just the absolute worst story coming out of Detroit. And I shouldn't say absolute worst. We're not trying to rank tragedies, but just a really bad one, a really sad one. It's a man named Jason Hargrove. You familiar with this story?
Yes.
So Jason Hargrove is a bus driver in Detroit. Like, if you need a ride around town, he might, and you taking the bus, public transportation, he might be the guy who picks you up. And so he was driving on March 21st, and, you know, this is well after it's well documented in this country that we are dealing with something very serious. We didn't take this seriously quickly enough, but the NBA canceled on March 11th. NCAA tournament canceled on March 12th. Basically, everything started to become serious then because we knew they wouldn't be canceling these big, big things unless something bad was on the way. So this is March 21st, more than a week later, and Jason Hargrove is still doing his job in Detroit. He's driving a bus, public transportation, taking people where they need to be. And after one completed trip, he got off of his bus and he recorded about an 8-minute Facebook video because he was frustrated that this woman had crossed a line, an actual line in the bus, crossed it, got closer to the front than she was supposed to be, and that she was coughing repeatedly without covering her mouth. And I'll just let Jason Hargrove tell you the story.
Hey, look, listen, man, let me tell you something. This coronavirus is for real. And we out here as public workers doing our job, trying to make an honest living to take care of our families. But for you to get on the bus and stand on the bus and cough several times without covering up your mouth, and you know that we in the middle of a pandemic, that lets me know that some folks don't care, utterly don't give a f-. Excuse my language, but that's how I feel right about now. For a grown person in her late 50s, early 60s, to stand on the bus and cough 4 and 5 times without covering up your mouth, and you know we in the midst of a mother crisis with this coronavirus, I am pissed the off. I ain't blaming nobody. I ain't blaming nobody but the woman that did that. I ain't putting the fault on nobody else. For us to get through this and get over this, man, y'all need to take this serious. It's folks dying from this. Listen, it's folks dying out here.
He recorded that on March 21st. Less than 2 weeks later, he's dead. The Detroit mayor has announced. Jason Hargrove worked in public transportation, got coughed on by a woman, was angry about it, recorded a video about it, was subsequently tested, confirmed case, hospitalized, and now he's dead. And that's happening all over the country. Not everybody's making Facebook videos right before they die, but that's happening all over the country. And it's why it's still frustrating to hear people talk about their liberties and their freedoms as if that matters at all right now. I had a buddy on Facebook I saw earlier today. He's a good guy. Like, I like the guy. He's a good husband. He's a good father. I like him.
Yeah. I know where you're going, though.
And he was like, you know, if you don't want to risk it, you don't have to risk it. If you want to stay home, you can stay home. But your fear shouldn't take away my freedoms. Just because you're scared of this doesn't mean I should have to stay at home or I shouldn't be able to work. And I say this as respectfully as I could say it. But if those are your words, if that's what you think, you still don't understand. That would be the equivalent of a drunk driver saying, if you're scared about drinking and driving, you don't have to drink and drive. That's fine. But I'm not worried about it. And I should be allowed to drink and drive. And if I have to pay a price for that, then I'll pay a price for that. But I'm willing to risk whatever I'm risking. Well, obviously, drinking and driving doesn't only lead to single car accidents. If it did, maybe knock yourself out. But when you drink and drive and get into a car, you're not only putting yourself at risk. You're putting everybody else at risk. Google, try to find out how many people, innocent, sober, did nothing wrong people, are killed by drunk drivers every year. So when you drink and drive, you're not just putting your own self at risk. You're putting other people at risk. And when they tell you you can't drink and drive, you shouldn't. Nobody's taking away your freedoms. Just trying to be smart. This isn't that far removed from that. If you're not worried about the coronavirus and you think you should be able to hang out with your buddies, play basketball in the parks, go to work just like you used to, you could think that if you want to, but you're being ridiculous. Because eventually you got to go to the same grocery store I got to go to. Eventually you got to go to the same pharmacy I got to go to. And then I'm standing next to you in line. Or you're standing next to somebody's grandmother in line. And now just because you weren't scared of nothing, you're popping around like normal, you've just put them at risk. Maybe. So that's why this isn't about your freedoms. It's not about what you want to do. It's about what we need to do. Because you're not only putting yourself at risk. If you put a syringe in your arm, you're putting yourself at risk. Maybe it's just you. If you're playing around with a gun, you might just be putting yourself at risk. But when you are walking around irresponsibly without a care in the world while a pandemic is spreading throughout this country, you're not just putting yourself at risk. You're putting everybody you could theoretically possibly come in contact with at some point, you're putting those people in risk. You're putting people like Jason Hargrove at risk. A woman had obvious symptoms more than a week after we knew what the symptoms looked like. Got onto a bus, coughing, was getting too close to people, wasn't covering her mouth. This bus driver was mad. You heard his voice. Angry, because he knew what maybe, just maybe, could have just happened. Less than 2 weeks later, he's dead. So I feel like we should be learned up at this point. Shouldn't be many more lessons to learn. But if you needed one more, there's a pretty good one. Sitting about your freedoms. Just because you're not scared of risking whatever it is you're willing to risk doesn't mean that it's smart for you to live that way. Because you're not just risking yourself. You're risking everybody else. And that's why every smart person in this country right now keeps telling you to stay at home and only leave unless you have to. Dan Wolkin up next.
Hey, this is Coach Penny Hardaway from the Memphis Tigers. Like you, I am distancing myself and doing my part with the Tigers to help flatten the curve with this coronavirus. Staying in, working at home, and practicing social distancing. As soon as we get the word, we'll be back at the Lori Walton Center training, on the road recruiting, and getting our students back to the University of Memphis. Do your part, Memphis, and thanks for supporting the Tigers. Go Tigers.
92.9 is helping Memphis stay connected. For more, go to radio.com/stayconnected.
Found the roof, Lee.
Where?
See those shingles?
Oh, what do we do now?
I pity the fool. You need the A-team.
What? A-Team Roofing in Collierville, one of only two diamond contractors in the Mid-South. They're a licensed general contractor, but also a licensed insurance adjuster. When it comes to insurance approval, the decision really is in the details.
Well, yeah.
Get your roof done right. Call the A-Team, 901-605-ROOF.
I pity the fool that doesn't check out our online reviews.
You okay?
I'm A-OK.
A-TeamRoofers.com.
As soon as we're back out in our yard, yep, we get company.
Dandelions, lurking crabgrass, and weak thin grass. But Scott's Turf Builder Triple Action takes care of them all. Now, with one bag, you can kill weeds, prevent crabgrass for up to 4 months, and feed for greener grass. Triple Action, so your lawn thrives, guaranteed. Only from Scott's.
Weeds aren't welcome here.
This is a Scott's yard. Pick up a bag of Scott's Triple Action today.
A heart in my Tasty Honey Nut Cheerios? Cereal, you trying to tell me you love me?
Actually, it's reminding you that it can help lower cholesterol as part of a heart-healthy diet.
Wait! They can help lower cholesterol? I've been so focused on the sweet, tasty taste that I completely forgot. Now I'm in love.
Learn more about making Honey Nut Cheerios part of your heart-healthy lifestyle by picking up a box at your local grocery store.
5-Hour Energy is energy on the go. But what if you're not going anywhere for a while? Then 5-Hour Energy is energy for getting stuff done while you're stuck at home, like doing an honest day's work for your boss, getting rid of old clothes,
my old bell bottoms,
scouring the grout in your shower, working out on that old stationary bike, and so much more. Go to the store or order online at shop5hourenergy.com. 5-Hour Energy, energy for hunkering down.
As a bald baseball fan, I spend a lot of time wearing hats. But you have no business covering up your head. Love your hair as much as you love your team by taking it to Supercuts. Don't take your hair for granted. Take it to Supercuts. Supercuts, the official hairstylist of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, broadcasting from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
The reigning MVP of the NBA, Giannis Antetokounmpo, has not messed around with a basketball in weeks, and the reason is because he has no access to a basketball goal. I was a little surprised by that. We'll talk about it in the next segment. Jeff Cogg is to join me a little after 5 o'clock, but right now he's a national columnist. USA Today, it's Dan Walken making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview. Presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar. Using food and wine to create memorable times.
So, your buddy Dabo Swinney earlier today said that he's 100% sure that we're going to play football on time and the stands will be filled all the way with football fans. What is he talking about?
I wish I had his certitude that everything was going to work out great. But then again, I kind of don't, because I like to think that I'm pretty realistic and I don't like to set expectations that I have no control over meeting. And I don't think any of us have control over this. And, you know, you start to read the comments and like, you can sort of, I don't know, maybe reason with yourself, say, because, you know, he talks about, yeah, I mean, you know, this is a great country. We stormed the beaches in Normandy, and we put a man on the moon. We can deal with this. And, yeah, you kind of say, oh, yeah, man, we're great. But then you think of it, and you go, okay, but we haven't, you know, cured cancer, and we actually don't even have a cure for the flu, and we haven't cured the common cold. And, you know, so diseases we don't really do so well with because they're a lot harder in some ways to deal with something like that as opposed to a lot of the challenges we have overcome. So, I am certain that at some point there will be a vaccine for this. I don't know that it's going to happen before college football season, and thus Dabo's assertion that we're going to have full stands for college football the last week of August is pretty crazy.
Well, it brings me to a tweet that you retweeted earlier today. Former Kansas State President John Weifold says if no vaccine for COVID-19 is in place by July, it is unlikely there will be a college football season. Now, to be clear, I don't know that a former Big 12 president is the end-all be-all on this thing, but I haven't heard a single doctor even suggest it's possible to have a vaccine by July. And so if you take those doctors at their word and this president at his word, it does appear that football is in real jeopardy.
Well, here's the big issue. And I've been thinking through this the last several days. College campuses are communities in and of themselves. So it's going to be hard enough to figure out how those communities are going to be active and welcoming students back from all over the country and all over the world onto those campuses in August. Maybe there's a way to do it. I don't know. Maybe testing has improved in a way that makes it possible that you can run your campus community that way. But when you then start saying we're going to have 70 or 80,000 people coming to our campus, you know, if you're at Ole Miss, you know, not a huge percentage of those fans who go to the Grove every Saturday are living in Oxford. You know, they're from Jackson and they're from Memphis and they're from Nashville and Little Rock and Biloxi and wherever. And all those people going to Oxford is potentially problematic in terms of seeding an outbreak on your campus that even if you found a way to control, once you have 100,000 people on a Saturday, you can't control it anymore. So there's a lot of those issues that if you really start to think through it, definitely would make any sane person question whether college football is feasible.
With professional sports, we can just push that off and play it whenever we play it. If they want to restart the NBA in, you know, November, or just cancel this whole season, start as soon as they can next year in 2021, like, there's a million ways you can do professional sports. College sports is a little different because they are quote-unquote student athletes. Is it possible to accept at whenever we have to accept it, not today because we don't know the answers today, but at some point we'll have a better idea for when we're going to be able to quote-unquote get back to something close to normal. Would it be possible for college football to just start in February, to just start in March, to totally blow up the calendar and say we will play this sport outside of its typical season, but we will play this sport as soon as we can?
Yeah, as far as I know, I'm the first person who covers college sports who mentioned this last week, that there was at least one plan out there that was being formulated at a top 10 program that modeled a season beginning in February. And that, I think, has taken place on a much larger scale. Now, look, there's a whole question mark that I can't answer right now about who makes that call and when. But I do know that everyone is looking at different ways that they might be able to play the season because they have to have that revenue. They need college football to have a solvent athletic department. And so whatever it takes to make that money, whether it's starting the season in January, February, whatever, they will do whatever they have to do. It's not ideal. It's not what anyone would want. We all want it to start in August of this year, the way everyone had planned on, but there is enough flexibility and enough willingness to play the season however you have to play it, that going February to, you know, May or whatever is certainly on the table.
I'm talking to Dan Walken from USA Today. I think most medical officials in this country, if not all, have been trying to tell us we are still climbing a hill. We're not even close to the other side yet. This is going to get worse before it gets better. Some more evidence of that. President Trump is speaking now, and he said that the CDC is now recommending all, I repeat, all Americans should be wearing non-medical masks or a cloth-based covering. It's voluntary at this point, but it is certainly recommended. That's just another sign that this is growing more serious by the day.
Yeah, I was at the grocery store earlier, and I saw, you know, a bunch of people had them. Every time I've gone out, and I'm averaging, by the way, leaving my house about twice a week at this point. So I'm doing pretty well with the social distancing. But when I see people out, I see more and more of them wearing masks already, and I do imagine that others will start to comply. I mean, look, I don't think anyone at this point is all that worried about the aesthetics of wearing a mask. Everyone just wants to make sure they don't get coronavirus if they haven't already had it. So, I mean, we're in a movie that we don't know what the ending is going to be or what the daily twists and turns are.
Tell me what it's like to stay at home all day, every day with no children.
Well, here's what it's like.
Okay, let me relax. I want to hear this because I.
All right. So one thing I've made myself do is I take a shower when I get out of bed.
Okay.
Because what happens is if I wait, you know, we have like a 10 o'clock call with our staff every day to chuck around ideas. If I wait till that, you know, then I'm not showered at 11, and then I maybe want to have lunch or whatever. So I do the shower, get that out of the way. You know, don't put on fancy clothes. I go down and make coffee, make breakfast, watch a little TV, maybe let's do a little podcast, open up my computer. We do the 10 o'clock meeting. Then I'm working. Then about, you know, whenever 6 o'clock, I do my little P90X workout in here. And then I go pour a drink, and then I start watching TV.
That sounds amazing.
It's really not that bad. Like, I'm doing way better with this than most people.
You never have to clean up urine in the kids' playroom? That sounds awesome. You never have to tell your kids to stop hitting each other with lightsabers? Or last night it was golf clubs. I have a putter. I have a putting putting surface up in my office. I don't know why I suck at putting, and I don't even practice. It's just there. You got to take the putter out of somebody's hand because they're trying to murder his brother with a putter. So the idea that just sounds peaceful, what you described. I really do think we need to get to a point where all parents of young children, moms and dads, they get like one day free of charge at a courtyard by Marriott. You just get to go by yourself. And just sit there by yourself all day, and then you'll come back home. You're not trying to go away forever, but you just get about 8 good hours of quiet. Because that's
have you proposed that to Kelly?
Dude, there's no peace. There's no peace in the house. It is. She got home today. I had the boys all morning. Then she got home. She took over so I could prepare for radio and work on some other things. And this is what I hear from downstairs. I hear her voice. This is exactly what she said. You two are unbearable. She'd been home 45 minutes, and she's already like, because Louie and I, you're just going nonstop, man. So I envy you in a lot of ways, but in this way right now. It doesn't mean I don't love my family, but your day sounds less hectic than my day right now. So I hope you are appreciating it. Let's get away from the health crisis in this country and talk about Mike Leach. Your old buddy Mike, what was he doing yesterday?
So, I mean, look, it's inevitable that Mike Leach is going to do dumb stuff on Twitter. Now, I can't see it because he blocked me, but I eventually see it. You know, whenever he does tweet something stupid, it will be retweeted by enough people that I have to go find out. You know, Mike is down there in Key West, you know, drinking beer or whatever he's doing. Right now, he's not in Mississippi, which that's a whole other issue that I find interesting. But he's down there in Key West, you know, doing his Twitter thing, and he doesn't realize that, you know, in 2020, it's probably not good to, you know, retweet memes or jokes that involve nooses, and particularly in the state of Mississippi, which has a pretty awful history with that particular thing. So. Lack of self-awareness. You know, Mike is one of those guys who thinks it's okay to just kind of say whatever, offend whoever, because we're all a bunch of snowflakes and he's just being funny. Like, that's fine, I guess. But there are consequences to that. And one of the consequences is three of his players seem to not really be that happy about it. And, you know, that's the thing that is going to be really interesting to watch with the Mike Leach era at Mississippi State is, you know, somebody who makes his opinions on a lot of things known that don't necessarily comport with the way his players might view the world. That's a dynamic that will, in my opinion, probably fester more at Mississippi State when you're dealing with SEC athletes. As opposed to a place like Washington State, where you know the guys you get are guys who don't necessarily have a lot of other big time college football options. So yeah, the thing I thought might happen with Mike Leach and some of his Twitter stuff is happening in record time.
That is Dan Walken from USA Today. Make sure you read him, usatoday.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Dan Walken. Thanks, buddy. Enjoy your peace and quiet and stay safe.
All right.
I'll see you. Bye-bye. Man, his day sounded amazing.
That did sound really, really nice.
I would kill for any of that.
Yeah, I would too. Now, I'm dealing with a real little one, so it's a little bit easier. We get nap time and all that good stuff.
Dude, Lou was on nap time up until coronavirus.
Oh, dang. That's a tough time to give up nap time.
Dude, the worst time to give up nap time.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the truth is, if we've got them separated or only one of them is there or only one of them is awake, they're awesome.
Yeah.
That's very easy to deal with. But when they're both awake, they want to go full speed all the time.
And fight.
It starts as a game. They're not mad at each other fighting.
Trust me.
They're not mad.
No.
It's like let's play Star Wars.
Yeah. Let's fun fight as hard as we can.
Yeah. Like here's a perfect example of what happens every 30 minutes. Hey, let's play Star Wars. Okay. They've got every costume you could imagine.
Lightsaber.
They have 50 costumes. 100 costumes.
Uh-huh.
All right. So one of them will be a stormtrooper and one of them will be Darth Vader. And they get dressed up and then they get lightsabers. And they're just like boom, 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 boom. And they're just playing.
Mm-hmm.
But then one of them gets smacked pretty hard. And then the other one smacks back really hard. And now you're in a full fledged fight and somebody's crying. Dude, I didn't even tell you about this one. I haven't even told Kelly about this one. Oliver almost lost an eyeball today. They're upstairs. They're like, Oliver says, Dad, I said, are you guys hungry yet? Neither one of you eat breakfast. You're hungry. They said, yeah. I said, okay, cool. What do you want? They're like, and keep in mind, it's like, what do you want? And what I mean when I say, what do you want? I mean like a bowl of cereal real quick. You know, like
you're right, right.
Like I've got to be on CBS Sports HQ in 30 minutes. I haven't shaved. Like, what do you want? A granola bar? Like, that's what I'm hoping.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We want pancakes. I said, well, I don't know how to make pancakes. Oliver says, well, Grandmommy knows how to make pancakes. You should call your mom. I said, listen, we're not calling anybody right now, all right? And then Oliver says, but we do have pancakes. They're in the freezer, outside, in the garage. I said, okay, maybe we do. Walk outside. Sure enough, he was right. There's like the frozen pancakes, microwavable if you want to do it that way.
Okay.
I say, cool, I'll grab those. And so I put two in the microwave, and I make them real quick. And I put one on each plate, one on Lou's, one on Oliver's plate. It's like, hey, can I have some syrup? Of course you can have some syrup. Can I have some butter? Of course you can have some butter. And with Oliver, I got to cut it up for him, or otherwise it'll be a disaster. With Lou, I got to cut it up. Oliver, he'll just figure it out on his own. Well, Oliver ate all of his pancake quickly. As I make him more, he makes all of his. He eats all of his. Lou is still working on his pieces. He's a little bit slower. He's three. So Oliver decides to reach over and get a piece.
I'm gonna get some of his.
It loses, which is no big deal because I got more on the way.
Yeah, but Lou has a fork,
like a real fork, and he's holding.
I already know where you're going.
And Oliver grabs it, and I turn around just in time to see it. He legit tried to stab him in the head with a fork, and he hit him on the side of the head, and it hurt. Like Oliver started crying because he just got stabbed. But it was 3 inches from his eyeball.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, Louie, you cannot stab your brother in the head with a fork. He said, it was an accident. I was like, it's not an accident. He says that about everything. It was an accident. I said, it's not an accident. And I raised my voice. I said, Lou, you cannot do that. Because it could have been really bad.
Uh-huh.
He could have put a fork right into his eyeball. I mean, it could have really been bad. And he just starts crying. He said, I said it was an accident. I said I was sorry. I said, buddy, I know you're sorry. And I know it wasn't an accident. That's a lie. But I know you're sorry, but, like, you got to understand the seriousness of that. Like, you could have really hurt your brother. You can't stab him. You cannot stab your brother in the eye with a fork. I thought we'd probably taught you that by now. But I guess not.
Life lesson.
So that's my house. And that's just today. Yesterday was something different. Tomorrow will be something worse.
Yeah.
Meantime, Dan Walken's just, like, doing his little P90 workout and having a drink.
I'd love to. Yeah, that sounds
really I never nice. Wanted to be Dan Walken more in my life than
that,
right
that
now.
That sounds really nice.
You know, my buddy Brent Stover, same thing. He's up
just
in Manhattan.
Chilling, watching Netflix.
Yeah, like I always.
Pouring a late afternoon drink.
I always, like Stove and I would talk about this all the time. I said, like, listen, man, like, you know, like, and Stove wants to be married. Like, he wants to have a family. He just, you know, he hasn't figured that out yet. And I said, he's a single guy, no kids. And I said, listen, you know, like I can understand like the liberties that you have by with no responsibilities other than your job. It really frees you up to watch a lot of Netflix. I was like, but do you ever like feel like you're missing something? Do you ever feel like, you know, am I wasting something? Am I not fulfilling something? And he was like, of course you have those feelings, you know, but then you really can't sleep as long as you want, you know, but yes, that other stuff's there. And he texted me the other night. He was like, dude, I had this self-isolation stuff figured out the whole time.
A long time ago.
I was way ahead of the curve on this. And undeniably, he's right. Because if you are single and self-isolating, I'm just telling you, it seems easier than doing it with a full house. Maybe not better. I ain't saying better. Although I could argue. Just easier. Just simpler. Just fewer fights. Most people don't fight with themselves or try to stab themselves in the eyeball. Bill Withers died earlier today at the age of 81, so that's sad. He has written and sang songs that all of us know. Talk a little bit about that next.
I went to Triumph Bank the other day to set up an account. Met with a banker named Holly Bronson, and here's what Bronson told me. The first thing you need to do is put my number in your cell phone. I can't help you if you don't call me. Yes, she really said that. Are you as stunned as I was? But that's why Triumph Bank is a different kind of bank, because of people like Holly Bronson. She'd worked at other banks before Triumph, of course. Given the way that banks are gobbled up by bigger banks these days, she'd actually worked at 5 different banks. But those banks didn't deliver the kind of service that Bronson wanted to give her customers. So Bronson made the switch. And here's the thing. Nearly all of her customers made the switch with Bronson because they understood what a difference personal service can make. Bronson insists she's nothing special, of course. She rattled off the names of a whole bunch of bankers at Triumph who take their jobs and service as seriously as she does. But I can tell you it's the first time a banker ever gave me her cell phone number. Triumph is invested in the community and in making banking easy for you.
According to the 2010 census, only 13% of the population was over 65. Well, I wasn't part of the 13% back then, but I am now. And with the 2020 census, my response will inform funding for things like healthcare, public transit, all types of things to make 65 feel like the new 40. Yeah, okay, maybe the new 50.
Shape your future. Start here. Complete the census at 2020census.gov. Paid for by U.S. Census Bureau.
This is Joanne Jenkins, CEO of AARP. The coronavirus continues to affect us all, and we are here actively supporting you and your community. Every day, we're providing trusted information from top health experts, sharing tools to help protect families from fraud, and creating resources to support family caregivers everywhere. As always, you can count on AARP to advocate for you and your family. Join us and stay connected at aarp.org/coronavirus.
If you woke up one morning and found that your roof was leaking, who would you call? An optometrist?
Okay, now, which way does the leak look clearer? Here or here?
It's still leaking.
Of course not. You'd want to talk to someone who specializes in your specific situation. And when it comes to marketing for your business, it's exactly the same thing. When you make a call for help, it's because you want it to work. It all starts with a conversation. Call Entercom now at 384-5900 and ask for Rachel. That's 384-5900.
An impossible deal just became possible at Burger King. Now you can get 2 Impossible Whopper sandwiches for only $6 as part of the 2-for-$6 deal. Mix and match between the Impossible Whopper, the Classic Whopper, the Crispy Chicken, or the Spicy Crispy Chicken Sandwich and get 2 for only $6. The Impossible Whopper with a flame grill patty made from plants. Now part of the 2-for-$6 deal. Burger King, your way, way better. Limited time only at participating restaurants. Single sandwich at regular price on menu.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show, broadcasting from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Try to live the life right. People really know you push your buttons like type right. This is like a movie, but it's really very lifelike. Every single night, right? Every single fight, right? I was looking at the gram and I don't even like lights. I was screaming at my daddy, told me it ain't Christ-like. I was screaming at the referee, just like Mike. Looking
for a bright light. Seeker, what your life like? Riding on a white bike, feeling like a sight.
Jeff Calkins, award-winning columnist, Daily Memphis. He's going to join me in the next segment. A little after 5 o'clock right now, though, I got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four stories presented by the Bluff Restaurant and Bar. Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's Four Notable Stories at 4:44. Story number one.
Giannis Antetokounmpo, the reigning MVP of the NBA, has been at home like most of us, cooking, cleaning, spending time with the family, working out since the NBA suspended its season because of the coronavirus pandemic. But one thing he hasn't been doing is playing basketball. He explained today on a conference call, he said, "I don't have access to a hoop. A lot of NBA players have a court in their house or something, but now I just get home workouts, ride the bike, treadmill, lift weights, and pretty much stay sharp that way, but I do not play basketball." That doesn't surprise you that Giannis Antetokounmpo, a man who makes $1 bazillion playing basketball, doesn't have a basketball goal anywhere on his property.
No, because he's kind of a different dude. He's in the NBA now, like, all the players are all friends and everything. He's not friends with, like, anybody.
Right.
He's kind of the one loner. I just think that he probably he's had access to a hoop, like, every single day, like, wherever he is. And so, besides at his house.
I mean, I guess
he just wasn't ready for this situation.
Yeah, I guess you just never imagine a scenario where you can't leave your house.
Right.
Or you can't go to your practice facility. Yeah. Like he said, that's what I just always in the offseason. I go to our facility. But now the facility's closed. You're not allowed to go.
Now, I will say, now that you're stuck in your house, I would assume, you know, with the resources that a guy like Giannis has, he could get someone to come and build
it. I mean, at the very least, you could get somebody to throw down some concrete in your backyard and put a goal up.
Yeah.
How would I know what I would do if I were Giannis Antetokounmpo? But I think if I were somebody who had that kind of money and my career was tied to the sport of basketball, I would probably somewhere on my property have an indoor goal or an outdoor goal, just something where I could get shots up if I wanted to get shots up. Just for show.
Like, dude, you're an NBA superstar.
Yeah,
you need a basketball goal just to, like, you know, so people see it when they come in your home.
Yeah, how can you even be an NBA superstar if you don't have a goal at your house somewhere? So anyway, that was just an interesting story. The reigning, and it's a reminder of why whenever we do get the A-OK to get back to gathering as a team, they're going to need time to – it's going to need another little training camp because, I mean, there's the best player maybe in the world, but certainly on the team with the best record, and he ain't even doing anything basketball-related for weeks now. Like, that's obviously problematic.
Story number two.
Kobe Bryant, Tim Duncan, and Kevin Garnett will be announced tomorrow as members of the 2021 Hall of Fame class. It is being reported by multiple athletes. By multiple reporters. In other words, it will be announced tomorrow, but they will be inducted next year. I also read there's reports that Rudy Tomjanovich will be a part of the class, and former Oklahoma State coach Eddie Sutton will be a part of the class. So I'm really happy for Eddie. If you've seen him lately, his health is in decline. And the last thing I would want is for this thing I know is very important to him, for it to come after he passed, so he doesn't get to have that day, so his family doesn't get to have that day with him. So this probably should have happened years ago as opposed to this year.
I'm actually surprised. I didn't realize he wasn't in it.
Not in it. And he's in, you know, like, he had some NCAA issues at Kentucky when he was there. That's undeniable.
Yeah.
But an all-time great coach. I mean, just an incredible basketball coach. Memphis fans might remember not sure the exact year. I want to say maybe 2004. But Memphis played Eddie Sutton's Oklahoma State team in the second round of the NCAA tournament and got demolished. And guess who, you remember who was on that team? Tony Allen.
That's right.
Tony Allen was on that Oklahoma State team. They had the Graham brothers on that team. I remember being there. I was the beat writer at the time, and it was just like, I think John Calipari said this afterward, it was like they had men and we had boys. And it really did look that way. Like, Those guys were older, big, strong, kind of like what the good Memphis teams kind of became with Joey Dorsey, Antonio Anderson, older, bigger, stronger, more mature players. That was Oklahoma State in that final 4 year where Tony Allen was on that team. So Eddie Sutton going into the Hall of Fame. Congrats to him and all Oklahoma State fans.
Story number three.
The Dayton's Obi Toppin earlier today named the Naismith Trophy award winner. Not a big surprise. He is most people's National Player of the Year. Some have named Luka Garza from Iowa, but at CBS Sports, we had Obi Toppin, and now the Naismith also has Obi Toppin, and it's a tremendous story. I think most people are familiar with it by now, but if not, really one of the more unlikely stories at the top of college basketball that there's ever been. You know, we talk all the time about five-star recruits, four-star recruits, three-star recruits, that kind of stuff. Obi Toppin coming out of high school, zero-star recruit. Zero.
How about that?
When he graduated high school, he had zero Division I offers.
Because what was Ja? I mean, you got to think he
was. Ja Morant was like a three-star.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was still in the system.
Right.
Obi Toppin, zero-star recruit, and when he graduated high school, he had zero Division I offers. The only offer he had on the table was a junior college offer at a school somewhere in New York State. And he decided, nah, I don't want to do this. At the time, he was a 6'4 sort of guard / forward, 6'4 wing. He said, I don't want to go to junior college. I'm going to do a year of prep school. So he goes and does a year of prep school, and he grows like 5 inches, and his body fills out. At that point, Dayton comes in, Georgia comes in, Texas A&M comes in. He ends up going to Dayton because Dayton was there first. Dayton showed interest first. He was loyal to that. Ends up at Dayton. He's got academic problems, so he has to take an academic redshirt year. So by the time he stepped on a college court for the first time, he was already 20 years old, about to turn 21.
Okay.
It would have been his normal circumstances, junior year of college, third year post high school, but it was his freshman year of college. That was last season. He was the A-10 rookie of the year. And then this season, he really broke through. 20 points, 7.5 rebounds, shot 64% from the field, 39% from 3-point range, led Dayton to a 29-2 record. They never lost in regulation. They were going to be a one seed in the NCAA tournament. Now he's going to probably be a top 5 pick in the 2020 NBA draft, even though he is already 22 years old. And that's because at some point you just take the guy who looks like he's going to transition perfectly to the NBA. Like, there's no reason. We always talk about guys who don't transition well or aren't great fits for the modern NBA. He's perfect for the modern NBA. It's a 6'9", 220-pound forward who played a lot of center in college, so he can be a stretch four, credible athlete, dunk everything around the rim. He led the country in dunks this year, 107 of them in 31 games, had 107 dunks. So he's a super athlete around the rim, but he shoots 39% from three-point range. So he can be a stretch four if you need him to. He can play for the five in small ball lineups. I just don't see any way he doesn't work at a high level in the NBA. I've got him second in my mock draft right now. I'm not sure he'll go second, but I do think he probably should go second, third, fourth, fifth. He should be taken really high. I was doing CBS Sports HQ earlier today, and the guests were me and former NBA Coach of the Year, Avery Johnson, and Avery took it even further than I took it. Avery said Obi Toppin will be an all-star year after year after year after year. I'm a consistent all-star, and that's hard to be. Like, not a lot of players become that, but could I see it? Sure, I could see it. I think he's gonna be impactful in that league from day one.
Story number four.
Sad news today from the world of music. Bill Withers, who is a Grammy Award winner and the writer and singer of songs all of us know, died earlier today at the age of 81 at his home in Los Angeles. Bennett, do you have a favorite Bill Withers track?
I'll just go with Lean On Me.
There's Lean On Me,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a classic song.
Yeah.
Tough times, it's a good song for the time.
Lean On Me, there's Use Me, just big songs that everybody knows that if you're around my age, they've been a part of your life forever. Like, you can't remember a time when you didn't know Bill Withers' songs. And his story's an interesting story. You know, he didn't start writing music until he was like in his 30s. You know, he just started writing songs. He didn't know how to play instruments. He had never written songs. He just had these things in his head, and he could sing. So he decided to start writing songs, and then he wrote these massive songs that will be with us forever. The most famous, I think, probably being Ain't No Sunshine, which is a song that I've probably heard a million times my life, is my father's favorite song. He would always have it playing around and be referencing it all the time. I was going through different versions of it earlier today. I found a live version that was recorded, I think, back in 1972. Do we have that one available?
Hang on.
So it was, there's also a version on Live at Carnegie Hall, the Bill Withers album, that is just tremendous if you're trying to get a sense for, you know, exactly what kind of performer, songwriter, sure, but also singer, this guy was for year after year after year after year. And while just, you know how it is when somebody of this magnitude passes, you end up in a YouTube pitfall. You're watching this and you're watching that and you're watching interviews. And I saw one interview where he was explaining how when he first started writing songs, he had no idea what he was doing. He would just write them, and then he would try to record them, and he had no idea that it would ever go anywhere. He was still working like a normal job type job, and then he becomes one of the more accomplished songwriters in this world. So this was a live version.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.